friends, as the first speaker pointed out, we are taking the lecture this evening, the building of the home. At the very outset, let me clarify, we are not talking about the construction of a house at all. The building of the home refers to a particular stage, very, very important stage in human evolution, the householder stage, grihastha-ashrama. Now, the last week only we considered the subject pain, purifier and uplifter. Where else can we experience pain and overcome that pain excepting in our home? Naturally, therefore, we are taking up the subject today, the building of the home. Home is something very, very dear to our heart. We say home, sweet home. After tired days of work in the college or school or even in the office, you feel like going home. You say, I'm going home. You never say, I'm going to house. You say home, where you find love, affection, a sense of belonging. When you feel come tired, there is somebody to share your joys and sorrows. Somebody, see, if it's a child coming to the school, then perhaps it lies in the lap of the mother. There is someone to comfort the mother or the brother or sister or wife. Therefore, home means affection, love, compassion, where you learn all these things. This morning I was watching the cricket match between Australia and India. And then in between overs, I have a tendency to tune to other channels. Then I happened to tune to one of the Tamil channels. Then they were discussing or a debate going on between the duties of a man and a woman in a house. Karmic coincidence. Unfortunately, the debate was already over by the time I tuned there. The moderator was summing up. I heard him say two sentences only. The moderator said, home means love, affection. He used the word Tamil. Tamil word, angu. It means affection, love. And then he said, because you have love and affection in the home, nowadays, I mean, in a jocular vein, he said, people who are couples who are not willing to keep their parents at home, send their old parents to the old age home. Anyway, that's a different thing. Now, what is home to all of us? He said it's very near to our heart. It's a home where we are taken our birth. Grew as a child. In mother's lap, play with other things, people, then learn our alphabets from our mother. And then build our character from our parents. Whatever culture they have in the house, we imbibe it. It is going to ultimately take us. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever it may be. It's where we learn everything. Therefore, home is supposed to be a very important place in a human being's life. Now, in such a home, what is happening today? There must be a mother, father, the children, etc. Therefore, unless there is a happy marriage and the children are born of that happy marriage, then only the house will prosper. Therefore, the grihastha, the householder, the state was supposed to be very, very important, very significant. See, in the ancient days, in fact, there is a Rigvedic verse which says, Vedas declare, in fact, this is from the laws of Manu, the grihastha state to be the highest ashrama. Ashrama is stage. As all streams and rivers flow to rest in the ocean, so all the ashramas flow to rest in the householder. Sorry. Now, the ancients also considered marriage as a very sacred institution. How do you look upon marriage today? It has lost all its sanctity, sacredness. It has been devalued, degraded, in a kind of barter. Marriage is a means by which the boy's party tries to extract as much money from the girl's part. Some people might say, look, you see, we are well off, but even then, whatever you are doing, you are going to do it to your daughter one. And that important aspect of the soul evolution and spiritual aspect has been lost sight of. Mostly, things are considered from a selfish economic point of view today. Unfortunate, every marriage. And the most important subject that is being discussed there, the student has been a witness to so many things. The boy might like the pair, the girl might like the boy, and the parents might also agree, both the sides. But there is an important subject to be discussed, what is known as laukikam, the worldly matters, where the boy's party will ask the girl's party, how much silver you are going to give, how much gold you are going to give, what are the things you are going to do. This is where most of the marriages are broken also. And some people just to accede to get the marriage to be over, they accede to the request, and for a lifetime their family is ruined in debts. Oftentimes you read in the newspapers about the dowry debts, how the daughter-in-laws are being harassed, even today, even in educated families. See, these are the things that we are facing today. Because marriage, which was once held by the ancients as a very sacred institution, has now been degraded to a secular institution as a barter to make money. And then where morality is completely forgotten, depraved. What is uppermost in the human mind, young mind, young couple's minds now? Selfishness and economic consideration. You may say economic condition. Therefore, what happens due to economic and other factors, social factors, and also selfish materialist aspect, most of the couples, they don't want to have any children. Therefore, they use all kinds of birth control methods. With the result, you see even schools and colleges in the West especially, condoms are freely distributed. Where has it led to? This permissive society where moral quality and values have been completely forgotten. Spiritual values just allowed to fly away, evaporate itself. Then what has happened? You find unwed mothers and then people, sexual promiscuity, leading to all kinds of diseases. The most dreadful thing is today, which is very, very prominent and facing mankind, is acquired immunity disease syndrome. You see it every day. And then over the media also, the advertisement is for birth control. Instead of propagating the Gandhian idea, the ancient idea of actionism, we want people to use birth control methods. Is this the way, best way to control the population? Degrading humanity. Man has been reduced, become worse than a beast today. I'm sorry to say this. And this is the characterization of the 16th chapter of the Gita. The most of the human beings, majority of them, I can't generalize. Yes, the character depicted in the Asurite tendencies are there. Therefore, they think the union of success only bring about the species. Knowing not why we have come here, many people look upon this very birth itself. I have heard many young people say, that you see, look here, in a moment of pleasure, my parents got me without my permission. Is this the way to look upon birth? Is it because of that you are born? Or your own karma has brought you here in a particular environment? You will see all that little later. See, the very first shloka in the Bhagavad Gita says, Kurukshetra, a body made of works. Out of tanha, we have been brought to a particular household, particular parentage, particular environment, circumstances. We blame the parents, we blame the parentage, we blame the circumstances for everything in life. If only I had been born in that particular circumstance, I would have been different if I were a king. This is how people talk about today. See, man is absolutely selfish and materialistic. The value of sanctity, of the sacredness of marriage is completely forgotten. wherever, you see, this kind of sexual promiscuity is there, the permissive society is there, sexual abuse is there, what happens? It corrupts the marriage. Infidelity. Nowadays, marriage is a contract everywhere. If a particular person is found unfaithful to the wife or the other way, then they have to pay so much, millions of dollars. See the contracts. It comes in the papers, please. This is a fact in life today. This is how we are behaving. Worse than beasts. Even beasts have a particular season for creation. Man, in and out of season, he's made it to the art. Unfortunate. This is the fact in life. Look at it. See, things everywhere, schools and colleges also. So many things have happened. And this is because we have lost the true knowledge with regard to spiritual soul evolution of man. This is the problem. Because man is being identified, looked upon only as an animal. He is not only an animal, he is something of unfolding God. Therefore, theosophy is dead against all this pernicious theory of birth control. It says abstinence. Abstinence, self-restraint. That's the best method. This may be a little vulgar, please, but please bear with me. About 20 years back, World Health Organization is having a conference. How to control the population. Because they were going with the Malthusian theory, you know. And one person, great philosopher, said that if only we could take milk and honey, we could control the population. Suddenly there was a voice from the audience. It was heard before or after. Then the person said, instead. I'm sorry I brought it, but this is how it is, the world, how we think about it, how we look upon sex. How we look upon, you see, women is an object of sex now, worship. And see, look at the media. You have two fashion TVs, blurry, skimmy people, with skimmy clothes, titillating humankind. And all the fashion shows, what are they? And you find reports, some of the reports which are, I'm reading, incredible. Most of the models become call girls, unfortunate. Many people may not agree with me, but this fact. The report came about 2-3 months back in Times of India about what is happening in Delhi. This is true. The whole point is, what have we, where have we gone? As I said, the 16th chapter clearly indicates what is the fate of humanity even today. This was, well, written about, see, just 5,000 years back. Look at the faith, you see, how Kali Yuga works now. The whole point is, we have lost the true sight of what a householder is. There are four stages in human life. In fact, we have culled certain quotations. You will go to the quotation, then talk about the real Grihastha stage. You have it in your leaflet, your hand. The first one is from a master. Does it seem to you a small thing that the past year has been spent only in your family duties? Some people think, you see, family duties are a burden. Therefore, they don't want to have any responsibility. Some people run away to forest, even after getting married, because they don't want to assume any responsibility. Nay, but what better cause for reward? What better discipline than the daily and hourly performance of duty? Therefore, it is by doing every duty towards our family. Family means, yes, our parents. We have a dharma, a duty to look after our parents because they have given us this body. See, it's difficult indeed to be born as a human being, as the enlightened one says. They have given us an opportunity to know what we are, to become Buddha-like. Then, as all streams and rivers flow to rest in the ocean, this is part of the sloka which I already quoted. So all the river orders flow to the rest in the householder. As all creatures live supported by air, So the other orders exist supported by the householder. Householder is a very important, significant position where we learn everything from sacrifice, where we can perform yajna, where we can cultivate charity, restraint, self-restraint and compassion. Where women are honored, there verily the devas rejoice. Where they are not honored, there indeed all rites are fruitless. What do we do? How do we look upon women today? That's why there's a liberation movement also, which has gone to the extreme, unfortunately. You say, look, man and woman are just two aspects of the divine in unity. This is what the Upanishads point out. Man and woman should not be looked upon as separate entities. They are two aspects, divine aspects, in perfect unity. Today, see, women, most houses, even today in cultured houses, is treated as a doormat, unfortunately. Or as a servant. As long as I live, may I conduct myself in the home with generosity, with a mind rid of stain and selfishness. This Buddhist Sloka Sutra. From the loving example of one family, a whole state may become loving from its courtesies and courteous. Zarathustra speaks, monitions of marriage, I speak to you, virgins and youths. For you I give this charge, listen to these words of wisdom. Attend ye to them, gain for yourself the life of the good mind, through the knowledge of wise ones, love one another in righteousness. And thus be the blessed of the blessed home. Dhrashtin Gata. Men ruin themselves by their search abroad while the real thing is in their homes, in their houses, in their homes. Nan, Guru Nan. And there are some more things from the secret doctrine. We'll come to that later. Now, see, we said there are four stages in human evolution. The first one is Brahmacharya, then Grihastha-ashrama, then we have Vanaprastha, then finally we have Sannyasa. During Brahmacharya stage, the ancients send their children to Gurukulavasa or to Guru, where he is not only to learn all the things from A to Z, alphabets, plus also the spiritual knowledge, gain spiritual knowledge. He has to also undertake to do the duties engendered by the guru and his wife. Then after getting educated, well-versed in everything, he comes home with the Brahmachedas, that with the enlightened knowledge and all, supposed to be. Then he gets married. There are some Kanikas, Kumaris, that is virgins, and some youths who never used to get married because they thought the family responsibility is great. They used to do the family duty very carefully. And if at all they wish to marry, only as companionship. But other people, most of the people used to get married. Then as Key to Theosophy, in the Key to Theosophy, HPP says, marriage is the best protection against immorality. But there are certain stages where, yes, the chastity and celibacy is required. We are not in such stage. For ordinary human beings, marriage is the only protection against immorality, she says. Now what happens is, yes, the second stage is householders. In the householder stage, very, very important. As I said earlier, the householder has a duty towards his parents. And today, due to selfishness and economic conditioning, he sends old people, thinking of sending the old people to old age home, so that they will take care. This happens, please. In every family is being discussed, because both husband and wife go to work, you know, and even the children are not taken care. They are either sent to daycare or Aya looks after them. What kind of a culture they get? Aya search. This is happening in most of Western homes. Go and see. This is what kind of, this is the culture that we have. And we talk about Hindutva, and what are we doing? Over the media, we only propagate this birth control. Do they know really what they are talking about? Many young people may not agree with this view at all. We are presenting a theosophical viewpoint as to how best we can, yes, evolve as souls. And marriage at a home is a place where he not only looks after his parents, he has to take care of his brothers and sisters. And then he has to also take care of his wife and the family, the children. It is the responsibility of the parents to educate the children properly, to bring them up. And it is the dharma of the husband to correct if the wife is erring. And it is also the dharma equally of the wife to correct the erring husband. This mutually cooperation is there. Therefore, because both of them, as per Rig Veda, they have equal parts to play. Earlier, women was looked upon as equal to men. Only later on, it has been degraded due to, yes, a personal, interest, interpolations and all that. Now what happens? This is the place where we learn to give to others more than yourself. Sacrifice. Where you learn self-restraint. Where you learn compassion for others. What is it? Self-restraint. Compassion. Charity. What are the words of godlike qualities? Let's see here. Fearlessness, sincerity, assiduity in devotion, generosity. Where else can you cultivate if not in your home? Self-restraint, piety and almsgiving, study, mortification, rectitude, harmlessness, veracity and freedom from anger, resignation, equanimity. And not speaking of the faults of others, universal compassion, modesty, mildness and patience, power, fortitude and purity, discretion, dignity, unrevengefulness, freedom from conceit. These are the qualities which will make a human being into a good grihastha, a householder. Valluva, a great Tamil saint who lived during Sangam period, Tamil Sangam period, that's about 2300 years back, much before Christ. Great Tamil saint, and he was the contemporary of Avvayar also, another great saint. He has given the four dharmas to be followed by householder, which is also one of the things which is followed by accepted chelas. Or even before becoming a chela, this has to be done by a householder. In Tamil, I'll just give you the words in Tamil and then I'll give you the Sanskrit words, equivalents. Aram, Purul, Avi, Inbam. Aram means dharma. That is, you should conduct the household in a dharmic fashion. In a fashion as per the Shastras. That is, Satyam, you should always speak the truth. You should not get angry, you should control your anger, speech, etc., etc. Then, through dharmic method, by right means you should employ to get property. Nowadays, people acquire property by all kinds of means, at the expense of other people. Then, avi and inbam. Then it comes, a kind of renunciation. Sanskrit says, you see, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Kama means not this kind of erotic desire, but desire converted, transformed, transmuted, alchemized into compassion. That is, where kama-manasic beings can transform by themselves by so conducting themselves in the family and fulfilling their duties, they can transform themselves into the buddhi-manasic. It is karma, where the higher aspect of karma comes into force. Then moksha, or liberation, or that ananda, the blissful state one attains. These are the four stages which the disciple has to undergo before he can become even a lay sailor. It means a grihastha stage is a stepping stone for a greater stages. Where grihastha, as I told you, has to undergo severe training, and this can, where else can he do? Can he develop all these divine qualities? Self-restraint, veracity, then you see, compassion, then almsgiving, charity. See, when we say, you see, what happens is, in a family, when a person is born in a particular family, it's due to his own karma. As you said, you know, we don't have time to go into the various aspects of karma. In fact, a soul is born into a particular family, it brings with it its own karma, and the environment in the sense of parentage, plus the physical, the psychical and mental framework with which he comes. Now what happens is, yes, it also imbibes, this is again, line of heredity, imbibes the good and bad qualities of the family, which are in him also. That's why he's brought into a particular family. Plus, the good and bad effects of the nation to which he belongs, and also the race. Therefore, first and foremost, as a householder, he has to, first of all, find out his defects, the evils of the family, the evils of the nation, the evils of the race itself, and overcome them. And this can only be done, as I said earlier, by doing every duty to each member of the family. That's a place where you learn this compassion, this kind of a thing. That once we are able to overcome, you are unfolding yourself as a soul, as it should be. Then the very process of this, what happens? This marriage is not a single person's soul evolution. Marriage is twofold. He has not only learned to give more to somebody else, or begin to love somebody else much more than himself. What he has done, you see, he is helping another soul in its evolution. This is important. You see, when man and woman get married, then what happens is, they are together. The two bullocks of the yoke did the same thing, which carry the cart of the house. Very, very important for us, you see. Therefore, what happens is, in one place the master records, yes, a well-matched couple not only grow in their mind alike, but also grow alike in their resemblance. This is very important for us to understand. Therefore, he is helping another soul for evolving. And by so doing, what happens is, yes, he is also enabling the other souls in the house but spiritual elevation, to attain to higher state of consciousness. This is important for us to understand. Therefore, what happens? The householder state is the best state. And, you see, as soon as we just quote some quotations from Secret Doctrine, and then the ancients looked upon the sex function as holy, as something, the only legitimate function of sex is to produce children or procreation. Not seeking pleasure. Please note that. And then what happens after? You see, doing his duties, then what happens? The husband and wife, and getting a child, male child especially, to carry the family tradition. Then, you see, they retire into the forest. As hermits, lead a life of hermits. It is called Vanaprastha stage. Then after some time, then the husband retires and renounces the world, and with the permission of the wife, taking her permission, then only he becomes a sannyasi. This is important. And then he says, vows, and tells his family, whenever they are in trouble, he will come to protect them. Whenever they need him, he will be there in the presence. The greatest example is Shankara. He told his mother that he will be there whenever she wanted to thought about him. And during her death time of death, she thought about him, he came running and to do the last rites. The whole point is, see, this is the vow of the brahmacharya and the householder state. See, look at what this article says, living the higher life. I'll read a couple of two or three sentences. Let it not be understood at all that I mean by family duties and national duties false attachments to family or nation. Family duty consists not in sensuality or pleasure hunting, but in cultivating and elevating the emotional nature. That is, you are transforming the lower aspect of karma into higher karma deva. Of ourselves and our family, in being equally kind, not only the members of the family, but also to all creatures, and enjoying all such pleasures of the family life, as are consistent with the acquirement of wealth, all means necessary for the performance of dharma, our whole duty, etc., etc. This is from Valluvar, please. Now, what happens? This is important for us to understand. There is no pleasure seeking at all. This is dharma is doing. Now, see, there is some important thing which I would like to quote here before going to the secret doctrine quotation. Yajnavalkya, great sage, he had two wives, Maitreyi and Katyayani. And then he told his wife Maitreyi, said that I am renouncing the world, I am going to renounce the world and become sannyasi. Then she asked him, if I have all the wealth of the earth, will I become immortal? I'll read the slokas, probably that will help you. Maitreyi, my dear, said Yajnavalkya, I am going to renounce this life. Come, let me make the settlement between you and Katyayani. Then said Maitreyi, if indeed, sir, this whole earth filled with wealth were mine, would I be immortal through it? No, replied Yajnavalkya. Your life would be just like that of other people who are rich. But there is no hope of immortality through wealth. Then Katyayani, Maitreyi said, what shall I do with that which will not make me immortal? Tell me, sir, indeed, of what you know of immortality. And she becomes his disciple. She and another great woman sage, Gargi and King Janaka were his pupils, where he tells them about Ashtanga Yoga, which later on came as the Patanjali's Yoga. Raja Yoga, he describes. Then there is another story in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is very, very interesting indeed. Which is the best place to practice all this? Only home. Where else can you do it? If you do it at home, naturally this will expand. From the home, you can expand to the family, to the community, to the nation in which you are, to the race to which you are attached. Prajapati had three offsprings. The threefold offspring of Prajapati, the gods, men and demons, lived as students with their father Prajapati. Having finished their period of studentship, the gods said, please instruct us, sir. To them, he uttered the syllable Da. That's all. He said only Da. And asked, do you understand? They replied, yes, we have understood. You said to us, Damyata. That means control yourself. Self-restraint. Yes, said he, and you have understood. Then the men, human beings, there are three kinds, you know, gods, men, and asuras. Then the men said to him, please instruct us, sir. To them he uttered the syllable Ta. And asked, do you understand? They replied, yes, we have understood. You said to us, Datta, give. That is self-restraint and charity, almsgiving. And he said, you have understood. They went away. Then the demons said to him, please instruct us, sir. And to them he uttered the syllable Da. And he asked them, do you understand? They replied, we have understood. You said to us, Dayadvam, be compassionate. These three, Da, self-restraint, then you see, charity, almsgiving, and to be compassionate. these are the things that the householder has to practice while being a householder. Then only he is fit to enter the stage of Varna, Vanaprastha Ashram. Now we will see some of the quotations from the secret doctrine. You will see what HVB has to say, and the ancients have said also. See here, we have the quotations here. I will read a couple of them. Then I will talk about something else. Creative powers in man were the gift of divine wisdom, not the result of sin. Today, people look upon it as sin, especially the people who have been brought under Christian theology. That is, man is born in sin. The seed are product of karma and divine wisdom. For the seed of woman or lust bruised the head of the seed of the fruit of wisdom and knowledge by turning the holy mystery of procreation into animal gratification. That's how we have degraded even marriage. Hence the law of karma bruised the heel of the Atlantean race by gradually changing physiologically, morally, physically and mentally the whole nature of the fourth race of mankind. Until from the healthy king of animal creation of the third race, man became in the fifth. Our race, a helpless, scrofulous being, and has now become the wealthiest heir on the globe to constitutional hereditary diseases, the most consciously and intelligently bestial of all animals. We are indeed worse than animals. How wise and grand, how far-seeing and morally beneficent are the laws of Manu and connubial life when compared with the license tacitly allowed to man in civilized countries. But those laws have been neglected for the last 2 millenniums does not prevent us from admiring their forethought. There are Brahmins, a grihastha, householder, a family man, till a certain period of his life, when after begetting a son, he broke with married life and became a chaste yogi. That we will add there, as we said earlier, he will not go without the permission of his family. Please, it's very important. But if the vast arts of the fire received has turned into greatest curse, the animal element, the unconsciousness of its possession has changed periodical instinct into chronic animalism and sensuality. This is how sex is upon unfortunate. The true theosophist, the pursuer of divine wisdom and worshipper of absolute perfection, the unknown deity, which is neither Jesus nor Jehovah, will demand such an idea. Pointing due to antiquity, we will prove that there never was original sin, but only an abuse of physical intelligence, a psychic being guided by the animal, and both putting out the light of the spiritual. See, animality is uppermost today, materialistic tendencies are uppermost today. With the result, we have forgotten the moral and spiritual values of homely life. That is why man finds himself today as a beast, worse, behaves worse than animal. Now, you see, look here. If you look upon the whole evolutionary process, at what stage man became a man in mind, thinking being? It is said divine beings, Agnishvata Pitri, is incarnated in man when man was an Amanasa, but with a brain with far deeper capacity than that of an animal. He was a perfect animal. Then they incarnated in man. It is on earth when human being became human being. It's the gods who incarnated in man. Therefore, it's the earth, and it's the king, in the kingdom of human kingdom only they incarnated. Therefore, this human kingdom where they only set up the family. Grihastha. Therefore, from that point of view, home is a very, very important place where you learn everything. How to live, how to conduct ourselves, what would be the real relationship with other people. And it is important for us to understand that man is a spiritual being basically. Come here in a sheet or a temporary habitat which is all the time changing, to learn from the school of life, to garner experience so that he can become a better human being. Animal man can be transformed into human being, a human being can become a divine being. We will close this with the last quotation from Secret Doctrine, which is there in the handout. When woman knew no man, and human progeny was created, not begotten, during the early part of the third race, you see, they were created by Ichashakti, sons of Vilan Yoga, or universal, sons of universal mind. That state will return to it and to the world at large when the latter shall discover and really appreciate the truths which underlie the vast problem of sex. It will be like the light that never shone on sea or land, has to come to men through the Theosophical Society. That light will lead on and up to the true spiritual intuition. Then the world will have a race of Buddhas and Christ. For the world will have discovered that individuals have it in their own powers to procreate Buddha-like children or demons. When the knowledge comes, all dogmatic religions, and with these the demons will die out. Therefore, when man behaves like a human being, conducts himself as a true grihastha, what does he do? He and his wife, both of them jointly, are making that kind of a karma which will enable them to be born in a fortunate family where it will be more conducive for spiritual development. We'll stop here. There are about 4 or 5 minutes left for questions, please. Many, many young people may not appreciate the Theosophic point of view on sex. I couldn't catch some of the words. Member of the family can become a householder when the age comes, when the ripe age comes. Normally the eldest in the family, who happens to be a man, takes care of the family. This is the method. But if there are 2 or 3 brothers, later on each one of them can set up a home by themselves. So therefore, from that point of view, each human being can become a householder by his own. And the whole thing, he learns everything in his own home. The way his parents behave, the way the parents behave with each other, with others, this is what he imbibes. You see, there is say, even the people, psychiatrists will tell you that if the mother and the father shouts at the child, child learns only to shout back. It's not going to take learn anything else. They say, you have to handle children gently, politely. All these things are there, even in modern society. Therefore, what happens is, yes, each household member of the house can become independent household. But the ancient days, what used to happen is, as I didn't read the particular quotation, the Secret Doctrine, as soon as they got, we got a son, the man used to retire to the forest. Because it is supposed to be, unfortunately, it is true. The man only carries the seed, not the woman. So from that point of view, he is called a Srimanta Putra. And if anybody procreates and begets other children, they are all Kama Putras, born of lust. The ancients, they got the son and then they retired into the jungle to lead hermitual, life, hermit's life. This is what is indicated. But women were being honored very much everywhere, respected. Only later on, in the past 1500 years, only everything was corrupted. Even original Sati was not there. I forget, in the Isis and Vedas, she gives an example where a particular shloka in the Manushruti has been, the word has been twisted with the result Sati has been introduced by vexed interest. That house will come to ruins. That, you see, where has he brought that thing? Himself? Yes, each one comes, not only imbibes the character of the family, but he also brings his own. Therefore, if the family members, if the husband and wife have done good karma, will they have that kind of a child? See, there is a karmic responsibility also. See, in fact, you see, in one place, I think Chandogya Upanishad, it comes. See, there is a place for man and his wife also. See, Matru Devoputa. See, mother is considered to be a god.